And if your Bible, you turn to 1 Corinthians, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll circle back and get your ministry involvement night pamphlet. Should have, hopefully, if you haven't received one, raise your hand. Ushers will get you one. And we'll open up to the first page, and there is an outline. We've used this outline before. We'll use it again tonight. If you want to take notes, if you don't, you can just listen. And so we'll give you this. Actually, it's not 8 points, it's 7. It might be 8. Depends on how I feel. So I get this morning's message mixed up with tonight's message, but I got it now. There is 8 points. I was having a discussion with, I don't remember if it was a staff member this week or whom it was. And I was thinking about the amount of hours and time that's put into the ministry here by many, many individuals, whether it's the staff or whomever. There's lots of hours put in. Sunday school teachers, master club workers, security, ministry, ushers, and I'm going to leave lots of people out. Thank the Lord for nursery workers. Think about the amount of hours that's put in visiting people. I appreciate our Tuesday morning crew that goes out and visits people, and Tuesday night and Saturday. And of course, visitation is not just a Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, and a Saturday thing. I know a lot of you are contacting people and encouraging people like Miss Grigsby who needs your prayers tonight. And some of you have even hollered at me and said, hey, I talked to Miss Grigsby today. And that's awesome. That's the way our church ought to be. But a lot of hours put in, a lot of time, a lot of effort. Building buildings, raising money for buildings, keeping the preacher on the hot spot about the triplex because we don't know. But Lord will work it all out and money will come in. The kind of money we've spent on land and buildings, the amount of effort that it took you to work at your job to give your tithe and offerings for those buildings to be built. All that time, all that effort, I could go on and on and on. For what? For what? For the most important purpose that you could possibly have with your resources. And that's to keep a person out of hell. Hello? Amen? To see a person get saved. To share one more time the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. And so tonight I want to remind you that the work is not in vain. And most of you know verse 58. I shared it with the Sunday school teachers this morning in our Sunday school meeting. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, let's stop real quick. What is it there for? Well, what it's there for is the church of Corinthians had a little issue. By the way, they had lots of issues. Read the book of Corinthians. That's why the scholars and commentators call it the book of corrections, because Paul is absolutely having to correct this. This was a very carnal church. And whether it was them fussing about who they follow, or whether it's fussing about the special gifts, the sign gifts, or whatever they were fussing about, one of the things they had a problem with was the resurrection. Was Jesus Christ indeed resurrected? And Paul said, listen, I have the answer for you. And the whole chapter he spends on addressing that. He says to them, listen, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Or if he did not, then my preaching and your preaching, our teaching, is in vain. And he goes on to say, in fact, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then your faith is in vain. Your preaching's in vain, my preaching's in vain, and your faith is in vain. And we look at verse 20. It says, but now is Christ, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that have slept. For since by man came death, talking about Adam, by man, Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So Paul addresses it. In the very end, he says to them, therefore, because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, because your preaching and my preaching and our teaching is not in vain, because our faith is not in vain, therefore, be ye steadfast. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. See the word there again? Vain. Your preaching is not in vain. Your faith is not in vain. Therefore, your labor is not in vain. Giving towards buildings being built, giving towards the fall festival, giving towards whatever effort we're putting into to reach people for Jesus Christ, the time you spent teaching those little children in Sunday school, the time you spent teaching those children in children's church, the time you spent in master clubs teaching those kids, the time is spent for our adult teachers to study and prepare for their lessons and messages, the time is spent by the staff and putting everything together, and all the efforts put into all of this, all the money, all the time, all the resources put in, it is not in vain. It's not in vain. We'll see that tonight. We'll baptize two of children tonight. It's not in vain. It's an amazing, amazing thing how God has allowed us to impact our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing that God has allowed Heritage Baptist Church for now for almost 22 years to impact not only Haslett, but the state of Texas for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how God is using us even in a greater way than ever before in reaching people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is not in vain. It's not in vain. Some of y'all have been here a long time. It's not in vain. Not in vain. God is so good. And God is so great to use us in fulfilling the Great Commission of winning people to the Lord, seeing them baptized, and then the opportunity to disciple them. It's a great and wonderful, wonderful thing. Your labor is not in vain. Look back with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We won't take time to read the whole thing. But again, we see Paul using an analogy here to help the church in Corinth to understand that God had given them gifts to be used, to use in the church to build and to edify the church. And he used the body as an analogy. He used the same analogy in Romans chapter 12, which we'll be studying and going over as it is part of our theme of this year. Remember now that the church at Corinth was having they were having squabbles about the special gifts, especially the sign gifts of healing and tongues and those things. And Paul is concerned about this, and he addresses it. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," verse 1, "I would not have ye ignorant." Ignorant doesn't mean dumb. Ignorant means unlearned. Unlearned. He said, I want you to understand. I want you to have the knowledge and understanding of the spiritual gifts. He says, "You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man," I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but look at verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts," gifts given by the Lord to his children, to the saved, born-again believer, but the same Spirit. "And there are differences of ministration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." In other words, the gifts that God has given you, those things have been given to you to profit others around you, especially the church. "For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Look at that verse 11 again. "That it's the Spirit of God who divides these gifts to every person as he wills." Not according to your will, but according to him. Our gifts are given to us by the Lord. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Talking about water baptism, being buried and baptized in the water makes you a member of the church. We all become a member of the body. "Wherefore, baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of that into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And it goes on to talk about how the foot cooperates with, in other words, the foot doesn't go against what the brain tells us to do, and your body, your members of your body don't fight against each other, they work together. And that's the analogy Paul's giving. The body works together. As the physical body works together, so should and ought the church to work together. And that no part is more important than another. It says in verse 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh, that there should be no schism, no friction, no fighting in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We're working together. We're caring for one another. There's no member more important than another member. There's no position more important than another position in God's eyes. We are to work together. There's not to be any schisms in the church. And we need to keep our eye on the goal. And that's to win people to Jesus. I know I use this illustration and it's silly, but there are churches who fight about the color carpet. They literally fight about the color carpet. There's been churches that have split over the color of carpet. How do you get so distracted to fight about the color of carpet? How can you get that distracted as a church? Honestly, when we are about to win, we are to win souls to Jesus Christ. That we as an army of Jesus Christ, I love the songs, the hymns tonight, we are to line up and have one goal, and that's to win people, and not to get distracted with the little stuff. And certainly not to think of ourselves more highly than another. We're all members together. This finger's not more important than this finger. You know, my foot's not more important than my hand. 4 or 5 weeks ago, I got a splinter in my thumb. And it still bothers me. A little bitty splinter in my thumb. I've told my wife several times, why don't we dig that thing out of there? It's still in there. And it still hurts. It's in my thumb. Smallest file in the world, playing My Heart Bleeds for You. But isn't it amazing how you can get a little splinter and how it affects the entire use of this hand? It's crazy. I hit it and I go, oh. I'm gonna go home tonight and dig that thing out. Gonna have surgery on it. But none of the, when one digit's not working as it should, boy, how it affects the body. And when we have a member who is not working as they should, who is not being involved, it affects the entire body. Every member should be a minister. Every member ought to be a part of pulling the wagon instead of just riding. You say, well, I'm kind of past this and I'm past. Listen, there's never a time when you cannot serve, because there's never a time when you cannot pray. We need prayer warriors. I appreciate the prayer warriors we do have. I appreciate there are people who are praying for our church members praying for us. You know, there's never a time when you cannot be involved in the ministry of Heritage Baptist Church. All of us ought to be involved. Look at your, again, the outline just has step one, step two, step one. But step one in getting involved in the church is knowing that you're saved. I hope this tonight you know that you're saved, that you're born again, and you know that without a doubt. I'm thankful that I can know that I have eternal life, John said. I don't have to hope so, I can know so. And the first step in getting involved is Christ. That's your blank if you want to put it in there, Christ. Christ, knowing Christ. To serve Him, we must know Him, and then we must grow. And the Bible speaks about there in John chapter 15, where Jesus is speaking about we as Christians ought to bear fruit. As we walk with Him, we ought to bear fruit. We get saved, and then we ought to grow in the knowledge of Him and bear fruit. Bear fruit, bear much fruit, bear more fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. Number two, not only should you know you're saved, but you should again be involved or join a church. Listen, tonight there's probably some in the auditorium. I won't look at nobody in particular, but I hope that you ought to get involved. And to get involved in the church, you need to join the church. Well, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, Jesus did. He started the church. He founded the church. The Bible says that Jesus said he loved the church and gave himself for it. It still astounds me when people say, well, I just don't think I have to go to church in order to blah, 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 blah. Well, certainly you don't have to go to church to be saved, but you have to go to church to be spiritual. You have to go to church to be spiritual, because if you don't go to church, you're disobeying God. Therefore, you're not spiritual. I mean, it's pretty simple to me. Well, you know, there's a bunch of sinners and hypocrites up in that church. Yeah, you are too. We're all hypocrites. Every person in this room is a hypocrite. We all have sin in our life. By the way, the church is a hospital to help sinners. Jesus said, what need have I had to go to those who are well? He said, I've come to those who are sick. Join a church. Be a part of a church. Be a member. Number three, by the way, Jesus came and died for the church, not the Red Cross. The Red Cross does a good job. They do good things. But he died for the church. Number three, consistent. Consistent. Be consistent in your walk with the Lord. Read your Bible daily and pray daily. Attend church regularly. Tithe and give an offering and serve him and witness to others. But be consistent. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. By the way, when the Bible says man, it means mankind, all of us. That all of us be found faithful as we steward, as we manage God's resources that he's given to us. Be consistent. How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you would say as a Christian, the hardest thing in the Christian life is being consistent? It is for me. Just being consistent in my Bible reading, consistent in my prayer life, being consistent in my walk with the Lord. It's something I'm continually working at, working through. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Keep on getting more and more consistent. Number four, consider. Consider, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in? In the body, we have the eye, we have the mouth. Where do I fit in? To exercise the gift that God has given you. 1 Peter 4:10, one of my favorite verses, is becoming one of my favorite verses, and it really will this year because of our theme, stewarding life. As every man, Peter says, hath received the gift. So every person who's saved has received a gift from the Lord. Something that can be used for serving his church, equipping the saints, building up the saints. So every one of you have been given something. Some of you have been given more than one. Some have not, and so forth and so on. Every man, as God sees fit, gives us the gifts. So Peter says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister that same one to another, as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. That we ought to be a good steward of the gifts that God has given us, the manifold grace of God. And whatever God's given you, you ought to use it, exercise that gift. The gifts, again, are to serve God in some capacity. You are uniquely qualified in some specific way to meet this church family's needs. Something unique that God's given you, whatever that may be. And just a hint, I like this one. And I learned this from Brother Stewart a long time ago. Usually God's gifts to you are associated with your talents. Are associated with the talents he's already given you. Amen? God's given you a voice to sing, you ought to use it for the Lord. Let me say that again. This is an easy one because you know if you can sing or not, most of you. There's some people who don't. Hang on. If your spouse says, hey, you have a good voice, you ought to be in the choir, you ought to be in the choir. If your kids say you have a good voice, if they say, Dad, quit singing, please stop, then maybe you shouldn't sing in the choir. But God's given you that talent, amen? Shouldn't you use it for the Lord? I'm just asking tonight. Well, there are many others. Some of you are gifted in administratively speaking. Some of you do that in your job. You're already gifted administratively. Maybe you should be involved in some administrative areas in the church, whether that is helping in Fall Fest, administrating it, or whatever it may be. There's lots of areas to get involved in. God's given us gifts. We ought to use them. Again, the purpose of the gifts is to equip, to build up the saints, to minister to the church and the community. Every member, again, should be a minister, to be a blessing and a help to others, to be an encouragement to our church family. Someday we'll give an account for our stewardship of our gifts. We ought to use our gifts that God's given us. I know most of you are here tonight. We do have some new members who still don't know quite where they're fitting in yet, but just jump in somewhere. In fact, I'm fixing to say that here in a moment. It's one of the points. I think I'm on number five, counsel. Counsel. If I miss some of them, just keep on writing. Get some counsel as to where you do fit in. Come see me, or come see Brother Wiggins, or go to your Sunday school teacher. Go see a deacon. You know, ask some questions. And what does the church need? How can I help? Where can I fit in? Where can I get involved? And we'll certainly steer you in a direction. Where best can I use my gifts? So get some counsel. Pray about it. Go to the Lord and pray about it. Lord, I want to use the gifts God has given me. Some of you can cook really well. It's a great gift. I love that gift. I'm not the one who's got that gift, but I enjoy the product of that gift from others. And we're laughing, but it is. It's an awesome thing to be able to do that in the church and be a blessing to others through food and other things. Number six, commit. See, I have it written down. Jump in. And by the way, when you jump in with both feet. Do all things what? As unto the Lord. Do all things, the Bible says, to the glory of God. Sometimes I think, at our job, we give it our best, our best. But when we come to the church, we like, No, give it your all. Jump in. Both feet. Give it your best. And God will bless you for it. Jump right in. I know in the booklet it kind of gives you some there. I said this morning there is no dress code, and there isn't at Heritage Baptist Church. But if you are in leadership position, you're going to be a deacon or trustee, or you're going to serve in the Sunday school or serve in the choir, these other areas, there are some leadership requirements. You can read over that. And by the way, with more responsibility, as you work and have more responsibility, you give up more of your freedom. If you would. Same thing happens at your job. Why would we let a Sunday school teacher teach a Sunday school class who doesn't tithe? That wouldn't be right. Why would we allow a deacon to be a deacon who doesn't tithe? That wouldn't be right. I mean, there needs to be some requirements then. Amen? I mean, we need to have some standard because the Bible has standards for these individuals. And so we have leadership requirements. Paul said to follow me as I follow Christ. And as we lead in certain aspects of the church, then we want to lead so with a good testimony. Number seven is commence. Get going. See the difference you can make. There's always going to be challenges in the ministry, just like there's challenges in your life, everyday life and at work. But man, what are the rewards? As we see two children being baptized tonight, what are the rewards? As we see a young man like a little B who was here this morning, we see him graduate from Texas A&M, just see him. We see some of these other young people getting married now. Just what a reward. Amen? Man, what a reward. What a reward. In other words, the reward outweighs the price that is paid. Again, people's lives are being changed forever. People's lives being changed forever. We had a lot of visitors here this morning. What a blessing. I don't know how many hits was on Facebook from the advertisements we did on Facebook, but it's like thousands of hits from that. And we had visitors here this morning one in particular who said they came this morning because of social media. They had seen the ads. So I'm telling you, what an opportunity for us to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the community continues to grow, the work and the effort that's put into it is worth it. I want to mention nursery workers again. Aren't you glad we have nursery workers? Aren't you glad we have a place to put babies so that we can listen to the sermon and the message? Number eight, continue. And this goes along with 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Satan wants to discourage you. Satan wants to prevent you from serving, or he wants to render you ineffective in service. Listen, in the ministry, no matter, there are people at your work that you become disappointed in. Every position, every workplace, there's a lead or a manager or a boss, maybe even the owner, who from time to time disappoints you. In the ministry, when you're here as a Sunday school teacher, choir member, usher, there's going to be individuals, Christians, we're just sinners saved by grace. And sometimes we get this ideal that at church everything's going to be just smooth and everybody gets along hunky-dory and everybody's going to do the right thing. Sometimes that's just not the case. And sometimes the devil will render you ineffective in service because you'll get hurt at some point. Somebody's going to disappoint you. Your expectations won't be met. Listen, the only person who will ever meet your expectation is Jesus Christ. Remember that. I'm not going to always meet your expectation. Ask my wife. Ask some of these who've been around me a long time. I disappoint people. I'm a human being. But don't allow those unmet expectations. Don't allow those disappointments of fellow Christians who are frail clay, by the way. The Bible says we're nothing but clay pots. Paul said we're just nothing but clay pots. Don't allow that to discourage you from serving. Maybe you're here, you joined from another church, and at the other church somebody hurt you, somebody disappointed you. Don't allow that to discourage you from picking up the baton again and carrying the baton and running the race, being a part of the ministry and getting involved in the ministry. Don't allow that thing. That's the devil getting the victory in your life. Get your eyes off people. People will disappoint you. Get your eyes on the Lord. Why do you teach the Sunday school class? You know, why do you sing in the choir? Brother Jonathan's going to disappoint you. He does me all the time. You know, I don't particularly like... We all have things we don't like. But is that going to keep you from serving the Lord and winning people to Jesus and being a part of the ministry? Don't allow it to. Well, I disagree with... Listen, we all have disagreements. Serve the Lord. Not serving me. Not serving Chad Biddle and Master Clubs. You're not serving Jonathan Moore. Not serving Michael Wiggins. Not serving Aaron Cushel. Not serving Gary Cox. Hello? Not serving Eric Crawford. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just continue. Be steadfast. Get involved. Be a part. Some of y'all are laughing. It's okay. Put on the whole armor of God. Fight the good fight of faith. Get involved. Be a part of that army of God. Peter said that Satan's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to discourage you. Don't quit. Trust in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are you saved tonight? I hope you know you're saved. We're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. We're not saved to sit or sour. We're saved to serve. We ought to be involved in bearing fruit. And I know that's talking, again, there's a couple of applications there, bearing fruit in our life by the fruit of character and be imitators of Jesus Christ. But that bearing fruit absolutely includes telling others about Jesus and seeing that fruit come ripen and be a part. Gifts are given to complete, build, and equip the church. And we ought to be involved in those things. Every member should be a minister and being involved. Look in your booklet again as we finish out tonight, and we'll go through this, and I think they'll put it up on the screen. Let's look at page 7. Page 7, the various areas in the church you can get involved in, and the tables are back there, and so tonight you can go back to the table, you can sign up, and we'll get in touch with you. The person who's in charge of that ministry will get in touch with you. Bereavement ministry, this is to encourage people with meals. When we do have a funeral, if you would like to be involved in preparing meals, being involved in preparing the meal also for the family, and this is something that our church does, and it's, I believe, a wonderful blessing to the families in need. And so you can sign up for that. Bookstore, helping the Renzes with the bookstore. Then a couple of volunteers would help to manage the bookstore, again, 30 minutes before and after the service, before and after the services. You sign up for help with the bookstore. Bus ministry, this is an area in which our church has been up and down. This area is a tough area. Let me just be completely straightforward in the bus ministry here. Our church, I just said this morning that our family got in because of the bus ministry when I was 2 years old. And a Sunday school teacher. My dad kind of clarified the story with me after church. I appreciate that. But Mildred Cornelison was the reason we got into church when I was a kid. The bus ministry around here has been tough, but it's not just tough in our area. It's been tough in other areas too. It's not like it used to be back, you know, in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s. It's just not the same. People don't trust as well and don't send their kids off. So would you pray? What the bus ministry takes is someone who would say, I will spend 4 hours every Saturday. That's what it's going to take. We really want a bus ministry, somebody who consistently spends 3, 4, 5 hours every Saturday hunting kids down. So just that's the straightforwardness of it. And so we'll have bus ministry as it is those who would like to step up and do that. Care counseling, Miss Linda Smith. Don't forget we have Miss Linda here who would love to help, and she could always use somebody who has experience. And so Miss Linda Smith does a great job counseling. If you need that or you would like to help in that, see her. Children's Choir, Brother Brandon Cook and Miss Jessica do a fantastic job, and they're helpers in there. Enjoy the Children's Choir, don't you? Love it. You ought to bring your kid to that, by the way. But always needs help with crowd control. If you can do it, there is never a lack of opportunity in this church to be part of crowd control. Kid crowd control. Never a lack of opportunity. Speaking of that, Children's Church. So again, on Children's Church in the morning, 11 o'clock, it says we, you know, divide it up into programs in three stages, toddler church, children's church, junior church. The needs are that we need helpers in the junior church from first to sixth grade. Again, a lot of crowd control. We could use one teen girl helper in 3-year-old to 5-year-old. So there's an opportunity there to help in Children's Church. Children's Church, generally speaking, is on a rotation basis. There are some permanent people in there, but for the most part, you rotate in and out. So you're in there once a month or once every other month or whatever the case may be. All right, choir. Choir is an easy one. Just show up. God's giving you a voice. Show up. There's some of you men who have really slacked off. Come on, help us. Get back in the choir. Be a part and jump in. Jump in. Discipleship program with Brother Gary Cox. And I appreciate those who continue to serve in that capacity when we do have those who need to be discipled. We have a couple now being discipled on Wednesday nights. And we have a few church members who have, in other words, we want to disciple people one-on-one. A couple discipling a couple, individuals discipling individuals during the service on Wednesday night. If that's something that interests you, you can sign up for that. Larry. It's okay. Hang on. Global vision. Global vision. This is something we started several years ago, and it really is a blessing. Brother Phil and Rachel James run this ministry. Again, opportunities. Opportunities. We need your help. Global vision is an opportunity for every church member, no matter their age, or to get involved. We need rope holders to help pray for our missionaries and communicate with them periodically. Again, this is where you're given a missionary to communicate with, to pray for, communicate with. And then when they do come back and they're here for furlough and they come visit our church, the opportunity to have supper with them and all those things and really get to know a missionary. It's not just that it's a missionary on the wall anymore, but a missionary that you become familiar with and you can encourage. By these missionaries, many of them are isolated on the field. Some of them have no other missionaries close to them. And so you may be the only opportunity to have communicating with them. So it's such an encouragement. I have so many missionaries, and they've done it from the pulpit here too. Some of them who say things like, I appreciate your church, the church here at Heritage, who communicates with me. And it's about, again, the rope holders. Get involved in that. Heritage Christian Academy, the next page, page 11, getting involved there. We always need CDL drivers, always, always. We need lunch volunteers, proficient piano players, and we're going to be looking for an experienced K-4 teacher. And always need super subs. So there's always an opportunity there if you want to get involved during the week. Kitchen crew, if you want to be involved in helping with the meals that we put on here at the church, you can sign up for that. And just willing volunteers there to help set up and clean up and then help in serving the food there. Local outreach, this is the outreach we do as we think about on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, or Tuesdays and Wednesday night, Tuesday mornings, Tuesday night, and on Saturday mornings. It's a clear command again to go reach our community for the Lord. So I encourage you to come out and be a part of these. I appreciate the ladies. We have a group of ladies who come up and put the new move-in bags together. If that's something you would be interested in helping put the new move-in bags together, see Brother Wiggins, sign up for that, and you can help with that. Say, well, I can't go. I don't want to go and talk to people. Man, here's an opportunity for just to put the new move-in bags together and be a part of that ministry of reaching our community. Master Clubs, there on Wednesday nights during the services. This year, we are in need of a teacher who is willing to take a class. We are also in need of workers who can substitute on a needed basis. We also need helpers in first through third grade. Again, crowd control and those type of things. I always tell new members, if there's an area you want to get involved in, just jump into Master Clubs on Wednesday night. It'd be a great way to start, great way to get involved, and it's a great ministry. Medical missions, again, Brother Phil, Miss Rachel James leading this ministry, and we'll be going to Mexico here in just a few weeks, an opportunity to meet people's physical and spiritual needs, meeting the physical needs to meet someone's spiritual needs. So we look forward to going to Bradley's. If you can't go, then you can also help make the puppets and help pack totes, and there's lots of areas to get involved in and be a part of that, so you can sign up for that. My wife in the nursery, always need nursery workers, ladies. Always need nursery workers, ladies. Please sign up. See how nice and quiet it is in here? That's because of nursery workers. Safety team, Brother Alan Schuler, Brother Billy McKinney. Again, we started this years ago, having a security team who is here watching everything during the services. It's important in the day and age which we live in. That's something that interests you. Certainly something you could jump in and sign up for. Shut-in visitation on Tuesday morning at 10. Come and help that. I appreciate that group that comes out. And Brother Cox leads that group on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. Sunday school. I don't know, your pastor's leading that now. Brother Leper deserted us. And so, appreciate love, Brother Leper. So we again, here we're working towards getting all the Sunday school back and functioning after COVID, and we've seen the attendance come up, and so we just continue to go forward in that. We do need some children's teachers, so if you'd like to be a substitute teacher, sign up, let me know. Then the tech team, that group back there that works so hard at it, and the group that works during the week, and I appreciate some of you really have stepped up here in the last year or two and helped us. It's probably been the most needed area. COVID kind of spurred it on, and then we have done a ton of work in there. We, not me, Brother Tyler King and his group. And if I start naming names, I'll miss people. But we appreciate you very, 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 very much. If that's an area that you are interested in, jump in. Ushers and greeters with Brother William Gentry. Always need help in greeting. And that's a rotation basis too. Some of the ushering, we're going to be talking about making permanent ushers and doing some other things as time goes on. The Welcome Center, this is an area we've had some who've had to step down, and so encourage you, if this is an area you might be able to help us in, and helping Miss Danya with the Welcome Center of helping get people registered and then taking them to class. Again, we don't want to tell people where to go. We want to not just point the way, we want to show them the way. We want to go to them, take them to the class. I know our greeters do a good job of helping with that too. But we need 4 new workers in that area. Yard and building maintenance. You say, well, preacher, I do not like public things. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to have to dress up. Okay, we got a perfect job for you. Thursdays, our crew around here, the pastoral staff, works on stuff. During the winter, they're working on stuff. In the spring and summer, about, 8 months out of the year, they're mowing stuff. That's an area that interests you. It's an area we always need help in. Just sign up and help with that. You can come and do those things. Youth ministry with Brother Jonathan, I just encourage you to pray for them as they continue to work and go forward. One of the greatest ways you can help on that is financially. If you're not involved in the 52 Club of giving a dollar every Sunday, I encourage you to do that. My wife, again, and I are both involved in that. And to pray for our youth. Idle Minds, the Devil's Workshop. We like to keep our youth busy. Look at them. So much potential there. No, Caleb? Caleb said, I don't know. Now there's potential. And so being involved in that. All right, so when we dismiss here a little bit, the tables will be there. Not all the leaders of those ministries will be there, but just sign up. And the leader of that ministry will follow up with you. And you can ask questions if they're back there with their table. I know some of them are not here tonight, but you can ask questions and get the information that you need. Amen? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Don't move. Don't quit. Always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not for nothing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small. Listen, invest in eternity. Invest in things that will outlast you. Invest in things that will outlast you. The greatest investment you can make is by giving of your resources, your time, your talent, your treasure to the Lord's service. Never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse, have you? No. Somebody told me that again the other day. I'm like, I need to remember to say that every once in a while. There's no U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. Use your resources for the Lord. That's an investment in eternity. All right, let's all stand. Have a verse of invitation tonight. A lot of things going on. Those who are ready for baptism, if you'd make your way back and get ready for baptism tonight.